Greetings, saints. Many, many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. May the Lord be with you. Father, bless everybody that is with us today. To have eyes to see, ears to hear, give them discernment of these things that are happening and going on in the world and what you're going to do about it, Lord. We thank you for your great victory that you have given unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to continue studying Enemies Are Conquered. This will be part three. We studied part of the scorpion's spirit's attempt to bring down God's people, but we didn't say much about the serpent spirits in part two. Except to say their deception is the poison of deception, which is in the head of the serpent, right? The leftist, Satanists in the United States and the world have been taken over by their deception and have a great hatred of the right wing and the Christians. And we just recently received dreams of authority over these spirits. So I'm exhorting you to think about these and pray and do warfare to set the captives free. As you know, we're wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, but they have taken captive brethren. Some are brethren and some are not really brethren, but we ask you to pray for the people, okay? And this first one is, we called it Authority Over Serpent Spirits. And it was given to Sandy Shaw on 8/31/20. Transcribed by Don and Merlene. Thank you, Don, Merlene. Anyway, Sandy said, the way this dream starts, I'm at Mama's house, sitting in the living room on the sofa. And my nephew is sitting in the corner chair, very upset because his grandma has just died. Okay. And now, from where I'm sitting, I can see my sister-in-law and my brother talking. And all of a sudden, I see my dad, and I know that no one in that house saw him. Well, in the natural, he went to be with the Lord a few years ago. He was carrying over his left shoulder a huge trash bag. And on the outside of the trash bag, it said, generational curses. Well, these are curses that are passed on down through the bloodline, and they destroy many lives. The only thing that breaks this curse is Jesus Christ, right? He bore this curse for us. And this is, of course, an opening for the serpent spirits to administer curses to many. Sandy went on to say, my dad, I believe who is representing the father, turned to me and said, they've been cut off, and now they are going to be burned. And then he walked through the door. Well, our father, through Jesus Christ, sacrificed and delivered us from generational curses at the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And, you know, the Lord also set us free from the curse of the faction persecutors. That's in Luke chapter 1, very strong. Then I saw at the entryway three black snakes. Now, both this dream and the one after, neither knew each other. We're having dreams about three black snakes, but they both did. Three black snakes coming up from the floor, from way down underneath. Yes, they come from hell, and they pass through our lineage down to us. But we've got the cure, and we got to tell people about it, right? Amen. I knew they were spirits. They were looking about to see where to go. That's because they're on their way out, right? The father's trashed them. Their son finally came to me and knelt before me. And I said, just because your grandma is not here doesn't mean her prayers for you will not be answered. He said, who's going to pray for me now? Well, that's a good point to say here. Pray for the inheritors of the curse. Jesus delivered them. It's your authority, right? I said, well, I will. And even though I don't see it, I believe it. So it will come to pass. That's right. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. That's what Jesus said. Pray for your brethren, your people, your lineage. Pray for them to be delivered of the curse. The Lord took it away. I know you don't want to hear this, but there are spirits after you. He said, no, Aunt Sandy, I don't want to hear it. I said, but you must. All of the true believers, the enemies are after their legacies. And this is true. They'll take you down if they can. The demons of the curse chase down all those who refuse the sacrifice of Jesus or rebel against him. He's the only cure. And that's when one of the snakes is about to bite him on his calf. I grabbed the snake by the throat, held it up, and said, we have the power and authority that God has given us so even you can pray. I let go of the snake, and it disintegrated. And then I woke up. I had this dream twice. And as you remember, Joseph said that when a dream is doubled, it's because it will surely come to pass, right? Praise God. The verse I received at random by faith was verse 35 of Ezekiel. Excuse me, was 35. Ezekiel 35, 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir. Well, now that was the capital of the Edomite Empire. And that's where the leadership of the Edomites, that's Esau's seed, who sold their birthright by a root of bitterness, factioning against their chosen brother Israel, as a type of the true church. And that's Hebrews 12, 15 through 17. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Well, as you know, Esau defiled his whole seed through the lineage, the bloodline. Yes, he did. And, of course, people are doing that to their children today. They're letting into their bloodline the curse of bitterness, root of bitterness, defiling themselves, their children after them, etc. And they fall short of the grace of God. And they sell their birthright. And he goes on to say, verse 16, lest there be any fornication, and that's one of the major demons among the faction, or profane person, as Esau, who for one mess of meat, in other words, following after the flesh, is what I call it, sold his own birthright. For you know that even when he was afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for a change of mind in his father, though he sought it diligently with tears. And, of course, he was not able to change his mind. If you don't have the gift of God of repentance, you're not going to change your mind, and the father's not going to change his mind, right? And also, this faction is a political war, too. The left, which represent the goats, factioning against the right, which represents the sheep, in the U.S. and in the world. So we've got these two factions going on, and the Lord is talking to us about these serpent spirits and their role in this. So she goes on, speaking about Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. They're pretty corrupt now. Destruction is on its way, according to the Lord. And this, again, this is the leadership of the faction, as it was the leadership of the Edomite faction. And I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast had a perpetual enmity. Yep. Most normal people, you know, if they disagree with you, they just go away. No. When the devil is in them, the devil wants to tear you down. And they have no faith for anybody, not even themselves. So they don't bring any gospel, any good news, or anything like that. So, and all this destruction came upon them because thou hast had perpetual enmity and hast given over the children of Israel, representing the church, to the power of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of the iniquity of the end. That's where we are now, obviously. And it's in these days that the faction will be destroyed by God. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir an astonishment and a desolation. In other words, a desolation is like the glory of God departing from them. And this has happened, of course. And I will cut off from it him that passeth through and him that returneth. And I will fill its mountains with its slain. And in thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy watercourses shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee a perpetual desolation. And thy city shall not be inhabited, and you shall know that I am the Lord, because thou hast said, These two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. In other words, you didn't know God was there, so you can't do what you think you can do. And these wicked people in the government of the church and of the state seek to take over Israel and Judah of Christianity, because we've talked to you about these two entities that the Israel and Judah are types of in Christianity. But these belong to God. Verse 11, Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast showed out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I shall judge thee. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, have heard all thy revilings, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, They are laid desolate, they are given us to devour, all which is slander, right? And you have magnified yourselves against me with your mouth, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard it. Thus saith the Lord, When the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. And as thou didst rejoice over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all of Edom, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So that's not only their leaders, it's them. Those who are spiritual Esau's will be destroyed by the serpent spirits and by God, because that's what he's saying here. So God speaks prophecies before they come to pass, and this one has come to pass in history, but it's the time of the end now, and that's when it says it's going to happen too. So then I want to share with you another three snakes revelation, concerning the man child and bride. Claire Pinar got this, and Rian, her husband, made some notes in it, and they sent it to me. I dreamed Rian and I were walking in a very dry bushland area. Rian represents the man child, and I represent the bride here. It was in Africa, like the wilderness, right? It looked like the month of August, September, which is spring in the southern hemisphere, when the rains haven't yet come. But the temperatures start warming up. The latter rain has not yet been poured out, but the trials start kicking into gear. This is true. The trials are picking up now. They're separating the wheat from the tares. And she gives about the latter rain, Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, before this text was spoken in Joel chapter 2, before this latter rain was poured out, the northern army in this chapter took control of Israel and Judah, but was destroyed by God, like the Edomites, who attacked God's people. And it was destroyed when they came against the bride. That's right. So, and by the way, that was the end of that invasion, and the people were set free. Amen. There was another family there with us. They used to be our friends when we lived there. It seemed coincidental that we were there with them. His name was Hank, meaning groom or servant, and her name is Justine, which is the female form of Justin, which means fair or just. I think the Lord used these names to show me that there are many still in apostasy who don't know another way. Yes, and they obviously, you know, have a desire to be in the man-child bride company. But she went on to say they need the man, child, and bride company to teach them to walk as Jesus walked. And this will be borne out in the rest of this revelation. And Rian left a note. He said, interesting that their names represent the groom and the bride. Fair. But you discern the true man, child, and bride by their fruits. Yes, that's true. And, of course, we're going to take a look at their fruits in this revelation here, the fruits of this particular man and woman. Our family stuck to the wooden walking path that was raised up off the ground, while the other family were walking along the side of the wooden walking path. And she said the wood path is the cross of Jesus, living the crucified life. Amen. This is true. If you walk on that path, you will be safe. If you don't walk on that path, you will make no progress in bearing any fruit, because you have to lose your life to gain your life, right? And she gives Matthew 16:24-26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? It's so true. People are so caught up in the physical things of life, and they don't know that they're here to die, just like our Lord Jesus did. He came here to show us the way. The way is death to self. My children were walking behind me in a row like little ducklings, and the other family's children were running amok, playing in mud, climbing everywhere, Being near the cross is not enough. Your old man must be on it. Otherwise, your fruit will be unruly. True. Matthew 7, 16 through 23 says, "By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Just remember that. You know you're passing your life on to your children. And your fruit, I mean, not just your children physically, but your fruit spiritually, you're passing it on. That's the fruit you're going to bear. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." I know a lot of people don't believe that. They think because they go to church and, you know, live a somewhat clean life, that they're okay. They're going to make it in. They've never killed anybody. So, "Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, right? "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name," not in thy name, "and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works?" Again, it's all by, it's not in, right? "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, Jesus didn't deny that they were doing these things. He even used them to do them. But your gifts that are passed on have nothing to do with your fruit. You're going to be judged by your fruit, you see. And it's fruit that gets you into heaven, not gifts. Gifts can be given, they can be taken. And they can be given to people who misuse them. But they themselves are not walking on the path of the crucified life and will be lost. "While Rion was talking to the family, I took the children for a walk along the path. And when I came to a certain point on the path, I turned to go back." And she made a note about her own portion in this revelation here. She said, "The bride should refrain from wanting to do things without the man-child. We must be patient, and the journey will go smoothly. I looked up, and the wooden path was covered by trees. And it was then that I saw a huge, scaly king cobra type of snake sitting in the leaves of the trees." Yes, kind of like the serpent who beguiled Eve, right? "The trees made an attic for the end of the wooden path. It was dark like a secret room. The snake was really fat, not too long, but the scales looked almost like a fringe around its face like a bearded lizard. And these scales were so hard, the snake almost looked statue-like. I did not fear at all, but walked back along the path. I knew we needed to go past this section, but not until Rion came before or with us." Yes. You know, the man-child ministry is going to be a reformer ministry that's going to lead the bride just as Jesus did the bride. John the Baptist looked at Jesus and looked at his first fruits disciples, and he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." So there's the man child and the bride, right? And Rion received Proverbs 11 and 25, "The liberal soul shall be made fat." This snake represents the far left that will be cast into the lake of fire at the end. Okay, I showed the children the snake and the scenery, and it seemed almost like a field trip. And our note was the bride will educate the immature Christians. That's right. Of the dangers of the serpent spirits, too. And as we walked back to where we started, there was another snake near a really colorful kingfisher and her baby bird. The snake was long, small, and black, with quite a large head. I commanded it to be gone in Jesus' name, and it left. Well, this is something, of course, in this dream, it's being pointed out to us that we have authority to do. Right? This was done very plainly and quietly, no pomp and ceremony. Yeah, you don't have to do big or shout loud or anything like that. You just have to take authority and believe and know that the words you speak will come to pass, just like Jesus said. My children said, "That kingfisher is beautiful." And thank you, Mommy, as I commanded the snake to be gone. Yeah. And Rion said he received 1 Kings 2 and 26. And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, "Get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death, but I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord before David my father, and because thou wast afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted." And Abiathar took part, of course, in the attempt to raise Adonijah to the throne instead of Solomon. In other words, he was a factious leader, right? And this snake thus represents the false prophet trying to stop the colorful, anointed, like Joseph, kingfisher, from fishing for the baby Christians for the king. Amen. The slanderers in the church and the mainstream media have imparted these deceiving serpent spirits to those who do not live under the blood. Those who come against their brethren and prove to be persecutors of their brethren, he has turned over to these spirits, and they are getting more and more reprobate. And we can pray. Some of them are elect, and they will come out, just like Paul was fighting against the brethren, right? But the Lord chose him to come out and to be humbled by this experience. We pray for those too all the time. You know, we thank the Lord. He's going to do this miracle. And as we continued to walk back to Rion and the other family, there was a third snake that wanted to come onto the path, but it couldn't slide up onto the path. Well, of course, that path, of course, was that cross. And the demons cannot ever walk on the path of righteousness. It was khaki in color, quite camouflaged, and very long. Hard to see, in other words. Rion took it by the tail and threw it in the lake. And Rion received Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, with an emphasis on verse 12. "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Amen. Pretty amazing, huh? The khaki snake is not flesh and blood. It's a principality. Yeah, amen. And I told him, there's a very weird, ugly snake further along the path, and I pointed towards it. He said, "All right, I'll go get it. We're going to have to walk that way later, so I'll go check it out." And I watched him from my vantage point, and he basically walked straight up to the tree attic, reached into the dark crevice with one hand, and pulled the snake out and carried it towards the lake. and on the wooden walking path all the time. So that's the place of safety. You can handle these on the if you're on the crucified life. If you're not doing walking the crucified life to come to the image of Jesus Christ, you're not in safety. You know, there's no safety there. You can handle these spirits. He used both hands to carry it like a garden statue. The snake shaped shifted into a feeble, dark-skinned old man. In other words, the serpent deceiving spirits live in the old man, the flesh, which has to die. We came here to lose our life, as has already been stated. And this snake tried to lick Rion's face, and Leon said, "No, you stink." "No, man, you stink. This man was all curled up like a fetus." And that's how Rion carried him. "The snake man looked heavy to me, but to Rion it was no effort." The other family was beside themselves with terror at this point. And Rion threw this shape-shifting snake into the lake too. It turned back into the snake and sunk right to the bottom, like a statue. The man-child is going to prepare the way for the bride, and the corporate body will do many signs, triumphing over these demons of darkness who are currently camouflaged and unseen by the immature Christians. It's true. People don't know they have an enemy that's after them and trying to keep them from finishing the path, right? Then we continued on our path, and the others started walking behind us. But it was difficult for them to stay on the narrow path. So when I woke up, I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Lamentations 4, 19 and 20. "Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They chased us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils," or spirit, by the way, of our nostrils, "the anointed of the Lord was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations." Well, this is, of course, talking about Jesus. These factious people with their serpent spirits crucified our Savior. And now their spiritual offspring are with us today to crucify the man-child. History repeats on a larger scale. This brought to mind something I saw on Saturday. A sea eagle flew overhead on our way home from stocking up in the city, and it had a snake hanging from its mouth. And when I saw it, I said to Rion, "I wonder if that's a sign for the saints." No doubt. It was 3 days before the start of September. And Rion said, "It's like we were seeing the end from the beginning because we are walking on the heavenly cross path. No fear there." The three snakes could represent different timings too. The start, middle, and end of the tribulation. Could be, but it's a path that we all have to walk out individually that really doesn't have any timing in that part of the parable. Okay? We all have to walk the path. And that's getting rid of those snakes along the way. If you're not walking on the path, you can't get rid of the snakes. Right? The serpent spirits. The deceiving serpent spirits. And these deceiving serpent spirits are now deceiving the factions in the church and the world, raising up enemies of the true people of God. Greg Moser had this dream on 8/29/20. We called it Anarchy of the Beast. It's dealing with the same thing. Greg said, I had this dream that I woke up out of, and I was with a man that I used to work for when I first moved here. In the dream, I joined a table of people talking. It was a number of kids as well as this man. And he has in parenthesis, immature believers, young in the faith. Yes. And right after I sat down at the table, he mentioned a dream he had in which there were really wicked people that were creating anarchy and chaos and just plain lawless. Oh, yes. And the leadership in those states where most of this is going on, Democratic leadership, are totally lawless themselves. They should never be in a position of authority over people. They were doing very evil things. They were cannibals. Well, that's interesting. And he puts the beast system, the deep state, and the people they control. Revelation 17 and 16. And the ten horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. There it is, shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. So, in some cases, this cannibalism is both literal and spiritual. The dragon of Revelation 12 is seeking to devour all it can, and the beast that follows the dragon will destroy the harlot after they have used her. Yeah, to come to power, right? And the dragon is revealed as Satan's body on earth, and the upper echelons are Satanists and do physically eat human flesh. So there's a double identification here, you know. In the dream, I actually saw them somehow, and I saw them as having big fat heads, symbolizing extreme pride and ego, right? Now, again, we're talking about these Satanists, these leftists that are in the church and in the world, right? With blood dripping from their mouths. In other words, they're guilty of the blood of the saints and the multitudes of the deceived. In the natural, this man and I are very different people and do not have a whole lot in common. So it was a surprise when he asked me to come back to his house for a conversation. So this man was sitting at the table with all these young children, and Greg joined, and we'll see what's wrong with this man, you know, why people don't need to sit under people like this. So Greg said that he would join him, he would talk to him. So the man left this place and went to his house, and I left shortly after. I found myself walking across an open field covered with snow. Well, in addition to Greg's thoughts at the end of this dream, the snow could represent a timing of winter. Okay, he had some thoughts about this too, the snow being negative. We don't want to walk through the snow to go to this guy's house. is what he's saying. And when I got to his house, he brought out a loaded gun for me to see. He made it very apparent that he had every intention to use that gun when the time came to defend him and his family. In the natural, he had told me this in a previous conversation we had before I quit working for him. He was actually very graphic in his description of how he would mow down anybody that came down his street to harm his family. In his past, he was a sniper for the U.S. military in Afghanistan and took great pride in what he had done back then. This man could represent members of the conservative movement that claim to be Christian believers, but are not. He has in parenthesis the harlot church. Yes, you're part of the harlot if that's the way you act and believe, you know. That's not the leading that Jesus gave us, nor obeying his commands. Or even some are believers, but they are immature in their faith and knowledge of the Lord and do not understand that abiding in Christ is walking in his nature, his character, and his authority. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to casting down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that's exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Matthew 26:52, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for listen, all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Okay, that's where the faith of the saints comes in, right? Amen. "In the dream, he began to tell me how upset and hurt he was that people he knew were changing before his eyes." Oh, are they ever? Yeah. Speaking of the extreme demonic takeover of those whose minds are not protected from Satan's devices, such as slander, witchcraft, and faction, these serpent spirits that come to deceive people. "They were not like they used to be. They were no longer reliable," he said. "And in fact, they were just not good friends anymore. And then I woke up." Well, there's coming a pretty much a polarization between the patriots and these leftists. And of course, it's turning into a war. "These are some of the thoughts I had about this dream. I asked for a word from the Lord by faith at random concerning this dream, and my finger came down on 2 Kings 5:26. I chose to include verse 27 as well. "And he said unto him, Went not my heart with thee when the man turned from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants?" That's people that are lusting after the world and they're not taking care of their spiritual life to put the word of God in their hearts so that they might walk as he walked on the cross, right? "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." There's that inheritance. "And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow." So that's what he got by faith at random. He said, "It seemed obvious to me that the scripture was referring to the possibility of us being bribed by our flesh. The reference to snow at the end of verse 27 made me think of the open field with snow that I walked through in the dream to get to the man's house. I know that snow can sometimes refer to purity, but in this case, I would think that it could refer to walking in death. We definitely don't want to make that walk." Yep, don't go into the Patriots' house, friends. They're pledging allegiance to a flag, and they don't understand that we only have allegiance to the Lord and his methods and his ways. And no, not to make that walk. It means being seduced by the spirit of patriotism to take up arms, and which will lead to death, according to what Jesus said. "I believe that the end of the dream was speaking to the fact that the Lord is shaking everything that can be shaken. He is using all the changes that are taking place in the world to wake people up and get their attention. He's calling his people out of the harlot church and leading them to repent of their carnal ways. He's also making a separation. People sitting on the fence will be forced to come down on one side or the other." Amen. And here's Anna's dream, 8:21-20, and we called it Safety for the Righteous. And it's very good. She said, "Last night, 8:21-20, I dreamed where several of us locally were in a house on a hill. I believe this is the hill of Zion, the hill of the righteous. There were masses of people outside around the base of the hill. There were other people outside with guns, and I thought they might have been government or military. Well, let me say there is a faction in the military. When this thing starts, they will be on the wrong side. But this could just symbolize the deep state troops, the anarchists, the BLM, the communists, Islamists. These are their troops. They're covert troops, right? Fighting against the Christians and the right wing. We were sort of hiding from these people with the guns. The house was a safe place. Yeah, it's on the hill of Zion, right? We call it hidden in Christ. The house of God. The secret place of the Most High. Our Psalm 91 Passover, right? Read Psalm 91. Believe it. Speak it. Sometimes one of their men would come into the house and they would look right at us and not see us. So they were hidden in Christ, right? Other times, someone in our group was given a word to say to them to distract them or cause them to leave us alone. I remember one thing someone said was along the lines of, "Why don't you go look for Kurt? He's out there," pointing down the hill. The gunman left, and someone saw in the spirit Kurt's feet walking in there with us, and he winked. Well, Kurt is truly walking in the spirit, having gone home to be with the Lord a few years ago, and so that's pretty interesting. And we were able to go in and out, but the people milling around outside didn't seem to come in to us, except one young red-headed lady. And I believe that this represents a body of Edomites, red meaning Esau's seed, right? Who I was thinking needed to hear the gospel, but she ended up leaving when a gunman came in. Yep, that will separate. They will all be separated from the righteous by judgment through this. We didn't have much food, but there was peace and kind of an excitement at waiting to see what God would do to provide. Yes, amen. That's faith. You can rest in peace, trusting the Lord. There was a plot against us from the gunmen, and they were somehow going to try to destroy us. At some point, the hill became surrounded by water. That's where all the people were, right? All the gunmen were surrounded by water. Does that sound anything like the Red Sea to you? These who were trying to chase down God's people and destroy them? Yes, of course. The water here represents a judgment on them, a destruction from God against them. And I don't know what happened to all the people that were there. Well, they're gone. And a little further down, I didn't copy all of her dream. Some of it was for personal people and so on and so forth. She said, after we escaped, we were all given handlebars, and we attached them to scooters, like kids ride on, not the motorized kind. And we were supernaturally carried into the sky on these. And, of course, that is representing seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? Remember, the beast has authority over them that dwell upon the face of the earth. But we don't dwell on the face of the earth, according to the Bible. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we are transformed from glory to glory. That's from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. That is coming into the image of Jesus Christ. And so the more you do this, the less they have power over you, right? Amen. You know, there is no curse on a dead man. once you acquire that death that Jesus said we came here to acquire, death to self, there is no curse left. The curse is on the works of the old man and the old life. And the judgment of God is against that. When people humble themselves to the Lord and they let the old man die, his ambitions, his ways, and so on and so forth, they come into a place of peaceful rest. And this is good. This is what the Lord called us to. So don't forget that you have come here to die just like your Lord came here to die. He said, whosoever doesn't take up his cross to follow me cannot be my disciple. We follow Jesus to a cross of death. Although it's a spiritual cross of death, it's a death to self, it's still a cross of death. We've been called to die. Die to ourselves and our ways and our thinking. And the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when we take on the mind of Christ, we think and we act and we walk the way he did. He said, these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. They will on and on cast out demons. They'll do the works of Jesus. And he said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. So he's called us to walk in his steps. Let everyone that says that they abide in him walk as he walked, the Bible says. What was that? On the cross, just as the early revelation that we had on the cross. We are called to walk the way of the cross. When you study the Word of God and you find out what it is to walk that way, you'll find that when you walk that way, the old man dies. You're coming against his selfish ambitions. You're coming against his retaliation. You're coming against all the things that the old man is. The old man, the serpent, right? You're coming against what he is. And it dies when you don't feed it. That's what we're called to do. Cease from feeding the serpent spirit in the old man. If you give it what it wants, if you live after the lusts or desires of the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. When you come against the deeds of the body, the flesh that it wants to walk in, the lust that it wants to have, you crucify it, and then you live. You must lose your life to gain your life. That's what Jesus said. Lose your life. That's your lower life, your psuche life, your soulish life. And your higher life is your spiritual walk with the Lord. So you're seated with him in heavenly places, a place of safety, a place of power. And, even as the wicked assail you all around you, just remember they're at the bottom of the mountain and the Red Sea is coming. Like in this revelation. Well, Father, we thank you for your mercy towards us in giving us understanding of these ways and of these serpent spirits who do their best to chase us down because of the bloodline, because of the inherited demons of our forefathers, because of the nature that was passed on down in the blood from person to person. And Lord, we thank you that these spirits have no authority over us because Jesus bore the curse for us. And we are delivered from that curse. Thank you, Father, for what you have done in delivering us from that curse. Lord, we claim it. We see in these revelations that we have authority over it. We can cast out demons or serpents from our bloodline, things that we've inherited that most of the church doesn't know you even have an opportunity of doing. But we were shown clearly here exactly what the Scripture says, that we have authority over the curse that's been passed on to us through the blood. And, you can take somebody away from their physical parents and raise them from a baby, and they will start manifesting the nature of their physical parents. I have seen this. And they never knew their physical parents, never got around them until later in life and went and met them and discovered that they were wrestling with the same demons. And they weren't raised by these parents. It's just amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. So, Father, you broke that curse. You delivered us out of the power of darkness, and you gave us victory over our enemies. And you gave us authority over all the power of the enemy to cast out demons. All right, saints, thank you for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. Good night.